Tonight is Wednesday night, February 5th. This is the Women's Mishnah or Gemara Shir. We're doing topics in Masechet Brachot and continuing with the topic of Davisha Bikdusha.
Hey, Rabotai. Tonight's Shir is being dedicated by Judy Wroblowski. As she observes the yard site for her father, Rabbi Schmidman, and I remember him very well. He was a very fine Talmud Chacham, but and an outstanding darshan, incredible darshan, especially in his native tongue, Yiddish. He was a very good speaker in Yiddish. English was not his native tongue, but of course he had to speak English in his shul in Canarsie. He was there for who knows how many years, but I remember him fondly, and I'm sure he's looking down incredibly satisfied with all of his respective families who continue to follow in his footsteps, and Amar B'Torah, your children, Michael and Michael's children, in so many... Very nice. Okay, Rabotai. We are in the midst of the sugya of Davar Shebikdusha. And there are two separate parts to the share tonight, should time allow. And that is, I had mentioned last week, I showed you the Rabbeinu Yonah, who was of the opinion that the entire requirement to have a Davar Shebikdusha with less than 10 people, with no less than 10 people, is not a din d'oraita, but only midrabanan. And the argument that he used was, Dvarim Shebikdusha are recited within the framework of Tfilah. Well, if Tfilah is only the Rabbanan, how can a detail such as the recitation of Baruch Hu or Kaddish or Kriyas HaTorah be a Da'oraisa that I now require 10 people if the entire institution of all prayer is only with the Rabbanan? So, and that's because Rabbeinu Yonah is in the school of the Ramban, who believes that prayer is only midrabanan on a day-to-day basis. And I commented that it's very difficult to know what are the objective criteria to determine that when you have a drasha from a pasuk, how do I know when it's a legitimate din d'oraita? And how do I know when it's we call asmachta? Torah asmachta means to hang your hat on it. It's only a din d'rabbanan. How do you determine that? So I actually brought another famous illustration, which is subject to an enormous debate whether it's the oraisa or the rabbanan. So I'm going to spend some time on that and then move back to the topic itself. So if you look at page 1, tonight we can have regular pages because no Yankee got into the Hall of Fame and Manning already retired once already. He doesn't have to retire again. And the Super Bowl was a great game, but I couldn't care less. One of my teams were not in it. I just had to decide who was I going to root for to watch the game. I can't just watch it. So I was rooting for San Francisco, that's all. Because they're an NFC team. Giants are an NFC team. But okay. Says the Gemara, Rav Bibi Barabaye Savar la'ashluminhu leparsheyasa dekule shata bimalai yoma dekipure. Rav Bibi Barabaye, the topic in the Gemara here is the halacha of Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum. There is a takana of the Rabbanan that each and every one of us, every single Shabbat, every single week, we should read the Torah text of that portion twice, Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum, and read the Targum Onkelos along with it. At that time, in the time of the Gemara, Targum Onkelos was the language in which they spoke. They spoke Aramaic. And that's why this particular requirement demands that you not only read the Torah text to become familiar with it, but to understand the Torah text. And without the Aramaic translation, it has very little meaning and significance. But the Mishnah Berurah already points out that in our day and age, when nobody speaks Aramaic, it might be, with the exception of Moshe Bernstein, I know, but he knows it very well. He's an expert in Aramaic. He says that today you should do Shnayim Mikra with Rashi. So that if you read every Rashi, you'll have a very good idea of what's happening in the Torah text. So Rabbi Barabaye did not follow the practice of reading Shnayim Mikra every single Shabbos. So this week he'd be reading Parshas Bishalach. That's what this week is, Parshas Bishalach. He didn't do anything all year. Savar la'ashluminu le'parshiyasa de'kulashata. He wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum for all of the 57 parshiyot of the Torah. B'ma'ale yoma de'kipure on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur, he was going to read through the entire Torah text twice with the accompanying Targum Onkelos on Erev Yom Kippur. Some Rishonim say that's impossible. Even Rishonim say, how can anybody do that? There's not enough hours in the day to do that. But whatever it is, that's not my concern. Tanale Chia bar Rav midiftei, Rav Chia, the son of Rav from the city of Difti, said, you can't do that. You can't do that. Right? We're at a hockey game. That's what they chant. You can't do that. Why? You can't do it on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Dichsiv, it is written, Ve'initem et nafshoteichem besisha lachodesh bo'erev. In the chapter that you have to know by heart, chapter 23 of Sefer Vayikra, you must know that by heart. It says concerning Yom Kippur that you should afflict yourself, ve'inisem es nafshoseichem, besisha lachodesh bo'erev. When is besisha lachodesh bo'erev? When is that? No. Follow it in order. Besisha lachodesh bo'erev. On the night of the 10th. The night following the 9th, which is the 10th, which is Yom Kippur. Good. That's the way the Torah tells us to fast on Yom Kippur. Fast on the night following the 9th. So the Gemara is going to ask two things. Why did the Torah never, ever uses such a description? Actually, it does once, but 99% of the time it doesn't. For example, when does the Torah tell us when the Yom Tov of Sukkot is? When? What's the day? Chamisha Asar Yom LaChodesh HaShvi'i, 15th day of the month. It doesn't say on the 14th day of the month, Bo'erev, at night following it. Every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam knows very well that a festival begins at night. So just cite the date, and I know it's the night before. Same thing for Rosh Hashanah. It's not called Rosh Hashanah, it's just called Echad Lachodesh HaShvi'i. It doesn't say on the 29th day of the month of Elul, Ba'erev. It never uses that phrase. So the Torah, the Gemara is going to raise the question, why does the Torah formulate the obligation of fasting on Yom Kippur by designating it as Besisha Lachodesh Boerev. Why? Why? And the Gemara says it in a very strange way. The Chi Besisha Misani? Do we fast on the 9th? The Halo Ba'asara Misanin. The fast is the 10th. So why formulate it in such an unusual fashion? There are two answers to this question. Our Gemara here only deals with one of them. Ella lomar lach kol ha'ochel v'shose b'tshi'i ma'ale alav hakatuv ke'ilu mit'ane tshi'i v'asiri. Anybody who eats on Erev Yom Kippur eats on the 9th, it's as if he fasted not only on the 10th, but on the 9th as well. Which is in itself requires a lot of salt and pepper. Why do I have to make believe I fasted on the 9th? What points? The Torah didn't tell me to fast on the 9th. So if I eat on the 9th, it's as if I fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Why do I need as if? There's no why. If there was an obligation to fast on the 9th, so the Torah can be, so the Gemara can be very creative and say, you know what? Instead of fasting on the 9th, eat. Would have been nice if the Torah had said that for the Gemara had said that for the 10th too. Instead of fasting on the 10th, you know what? Eat on the 10th. That would be great. So the Gemara here establishes the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, how does this attack Rav Bibi Bar Abaye? The Gemara is asking, you can't spend all day doing Shnaya Mikra V'Echad Targum. You have to eat all day. There's a mitzvah to eat. Fine. So they attacked him. That's very nice. Very nice. In fact, the Vilna Gaon, who didn't particularly like candy, on Erev Yom Kippur had a lollipop in his mouth all day. So that he can be Mekayim the mitzvah of eating all day of Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gaon went to the candy man in the shul. Can I have a lollipop, please? And he gave him a lollipop, and he kept the lollipop. Right. Very nice. Now, everyone here knows of this particular mitzvah. Would you say, based on the source that I just quoted to you, that the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a din d'oraita or a din d'rabbanan? Erev Yom Kippur, what's it? The mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Just what we learned. We learned it out from the fact that the Torah says, Besisha lachodesh, ba'erev. Okay, so you think it's not really serious? It's an asmachta. Okay, you have somebody to support you. Not the majority, though. Good try. Yes, a very important somebody. We'll see.
If it comes into the fasting on Yom Kippur, and if it's all right, is it to fast on Yom Kippur?
Of course. It says the, of course.
To eat on the 9th.
So you could say it's a d'oraita as well. There's a mitzvah to eat. Good. So that's my question.
It doesn't say
anything direct. This is a drash. This is a drash. It didn't say in last week's Gemara, which we learned about Davashe Bekdusha, it says v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Didn't say 10 people. I bring it two other psukim someplace else. Does that sound like what the Torah says? Nobody ever said that a drash is black and white in the pasuk. It's a drash. It's a drash. Good. So here, there's going to be a titanic machloket based on a Rambam that I'm going to show you in a second, as to whether it's a din d'oraita or a din d'rabbanan. Again, the purpose of this part of the shir is to show you another illustration that where something is derived from the Torah text, is it d'oraita or the Rabbanan? In fact, I'll tell you something that Tosfos said, and it's not terribly positive about everybody in the room except me. There is is a second halacha that is learnt out from this Besisha Lachodesh Ba'erev. A second halacha. Namely, that there is a mitzvah of Tosefet Yom HaKippurim. That you are obligated to read the pasuk like this. Vesisha Lachodesh comma start fasting. Ve'inisem esnafshoseichem besisha lachodesh. Then continue fasting when? Ba'erev, on the night of the 10th. And all day of the 10th. Does anybody remember the last two words of the pasuk? May erev ad erev tishbetu shabbatchem. Extend Yom HaKippurim into the 11th. This is the mitzvah of Tosefet Yom HaKippurim. That you have to begin the fast on the 9th day of the month of Tishrei, and you have to conclude the fast on the 11th day of the month of Tishrei. Every posek in the world believes that that drash is a dindoraita. Every single posek. In fact, according to the Rambam, the way the Gaon understands the Rambam, it is the only day which Rambam acknowledges there is even a possibility of Tosefet. Rambam, according to a simple read of the text, never heard of making Shabbos early during the summer. You can't make Shabbos early. And that all summer, you have to daven at the late minyan. There will only be a late minyan if you couldn't eat your meal early. Everybody would be davening late, and you'd be eating 9, 9.15, 9.30, because there's no concept of Tosefet except for the mitzvah of Tosefet on Yom HaKippurim, starting on the 9th, and we do that. Our calendar, when it says Yom Kippur starts, and when Yom Kippur ends, includes a couple of minutes of Tosefet on both ends. On both ends. Includes it. Because it's a mitzvah and everyone acknowledges that it's Doraita. Everyone. However, this drash about the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is going to be debated. Some say it's Doraita, some say it's only Midrabanan. And I would ask whoever says it to Rabbanan, Linda and the Kesef Mishnah, we'll see it in a second. That's Rabbi Yosef Karo. That's pretty good. He's not a bad guy to have in your corner. That is true. I would ask them, why is drash number 2, everyone acknowledges Doraita, and this one is not? How's it possible? How's it possible? But anyhow, yes.
I just want to clarify something. You're saying that we do add minutes before and after?
That is correct, whether you know it or not.
Right,
because what you really should do in order to fulfill the mitzvah is that before you come to shul and you light candles at home, you should have in mind that I am, if you can walk to shul, if you plan to walk to shul, I am in mind that I am accepting Yom Kippur early. If you have to drive to shul and then you light candles, so you make your famous t'nai, your condition, but the minute, and you say, the minute I get into shul, I am starting Yom Kippur early, before I am required to. You're allowed to go ahead and eat according to, before the mitzvah of Tosefet, you're allowed to eat until when? Shkia Sachama, sundown, until Shkia. It's like every Friday night.
We do that on Shabbos for Shabbos anyway. We do that, we also bring Shabbos.
Correct. Because we don't hold like the Rambam. We hold there is a mitzvah of Tosefet every single Shabbos. Now you women do it all year. Not only, that's why you light 18 minutes. 18 minutes before. Which is introduced not so much for the mitzvah of Tosefet, just as a precaution. A siyak. Because if you're going to tell people to light at sundown, the baby's crying, and then you're like,
"Oh, I still have 18 minutes."
Yeah, some people.
Oh, I still have 18.
Okay, some people say that, but you should. If it's necessary, you take advantage. Otherwise, you should light. You should light on the at 18 minutes. You shall light at 40 minutes. You shall light the light 40 minutes before sunset.
But I'm just asking. So from this pasuk, you're adding a few minutes as opposed to an entire evening.
What what entire evening?
He says something about the Erev.
The Erev means the night of the 10th, which is Yom Kippur.
Right, and then you said something about going to the 11th.
Because it says, May Erev ad Erev.
So we don't end, we don't wait till...
Yes, we do. Trust me, when I finish Ne'ilah, it's not really at the Zman. It's over, because the time on the calendar of Renat takes that into consideration and puts in two extra minutes.
That's right.
What?
So you can only eat it even longer.
Of course. If Kiddush Levana and this.
Well, what makes you think that it was, you couldn't.
That Marv.
Why can't you interpret this that it actually starts the night before? That since we always know that it's the night before, if you say the night of Tisha, why wouldn't we think it'd be the night before?
Because then the word Erev would have to be before the word Tisha. It says Tisha Lachodesh Ba'erev, the next night, the night following the Tisha, the order of the pasuk.
I would think you would just.
I hear what you're saying.
How we read it.
You'll look at the trap. It's a total corruption of the simple pshat. There's no doubt. It's a drash. But it's a good question. Why does the Torah formulate in such a bizarre fashion? Just what should the Torah have said? V'inisem es nafshol teichem bo'asiri. On the 10th. And I know the 10th starts when? On the night. And it ends exactly at Seisha Kachavim on the after the 10th. What do I need? Ad Erev?
Isn't Pesach also written?
One time. Yeah. That's correct. You asked Tosis's question. Excellent. I'm not going to deal with that now, but there is a reason why it's written, but that's only in relation to the Korban Pesach, not for the Yontov of Pesach. It's for the Yontov of Pesach, not for Chag HaMatzot.
Oh, okay.
There are two Yomim Tovim. All of our biblical scholars, the Gush Gang, they always give that shir. There are two Yomim type. There's Yantav of Pesach, which is Erev Pesach, and then there's Chag HaMatzot. Torah never calls the Yantav of Pesach Pesach. It calls it Chag HaMatzot every single time. The Yantav of Pesach is called Erev Yantav when you bring the Korban Pesach. Yeah.
Is this a problem in history?
What?
Is this a problem in history that the Sumerians or whoever followed it?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. Yes.
So no, the fact that you're eating, you try to eat all the time.
Yes.
Before, do we know? Is it to make the differentiation? Is it to make it so obvious that the next day you're fasting?
So you're asking a question. You're asking a very good question. And there are at least five different explanations to explain why you're supposed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Some say it's the simple thing. To prepare you for the fast.
Well, no, before every fast we have that. Not every fast, no. But every fast that, like Tisha B'Av, you also have a meal before, right?
But there's no requirement to do so.
But this is like all day you're supposed to eat.
That's
so
correct.
Something different.
That's correct. So some say it's just to enable you to fast, but there are far more sophisticated explanations. One of them is, I'll just give you one or two, that when. It's supposed to teach us a very important lesson. To engage in spiritual activity on behalf of God on Yom Kippur is not difficult. You're fasting, sitting in shul, it's not difficult. To focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're fressing, it's a lot more difficult. So it's supposed to challenge us to take the thinking, the spirit, the atmosphere of Yom Kippur and bring it into Erev Yom Kippur and say, I know that Yom Kippur you're going to be an angel, but then there's going to be after Yom Kippur. And then the challenge is to take the spirit of Yom Kippur and bring it onto an ordinary day when you go through ordinary activities. That's one explanation.
So we should learn Yom Kippur.
What?
And we should challenge ourselves at Eid Yom Kippur. Okay. Say, that's a big okay. challenge.
So the Rav's explanation says Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov like every other Yom Tov. So you're required to have a meal. But the Torah said you have to fast. So when do we eat the meal of Yom Kippur? On Erev Yom Kippur. That's the Rev's explanation. On Erev Yom Kippur. What? We don't make Kiddush. That is true.
That's also supposed to make your fast harder because you've eaten so much.
That's another explanation. That if you eat, it's going to make your fast a little more difficult. I said there are five explanations. Some say it's a simcha because we're granted the privilege of having a yom mechila kapara or slicha. To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Nishaloylam, thank you. Because it's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not guaranteed to have a day of mechila, slicha and kapara. It's an act of chesed. Thank you, Rabbi Nishaloylam. Fine. Now, I want to show you the Rambam where Linda and the Kesef Mishnah are going to say it's only midrabanan, and the Lecha Mishnah is going to attack him and say you're wrong based on the question that I raised. So go now to page two. I'll just tell you what the Rambam is talking about. If I take a vow that every Wednesday I am going to fast. Every Wednesday I'm going to fast. Or I take a vow, I'm going to fast on my father's yard site. As many people do. They fast on the yard site. And then the yard site happens to coincide with what? With a day in which you're not allowed to fast.
Not allowed to fast.
What do you do? What do you do? So the Rambam is going to highlight this case. A guy takes a fast. I'm fasting every single Wednesday. And then Purim's on a Wednesday. What do you do? Says the Rambam. Listen to the Rambam. It is Halacha Tet. This is Perikahei of Hilchos Nidorim. Halacha Tet. Hanoder Sheyatsum B'Shabbos O B'Yom Tov. If somebody takes a neder to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Chayav Latsum. He is obligated to fast. Only if he takes a neder but doesn't take a shvuah. So I'm just going to say this quickly. I don't want to spend time on it. There are two ways to prohibit something upon you and me. I could take an oath, a shvuah, where I say, I am not going to eat today. Or I can say, all food is prohibited unto me.
That's a neder.
That's a neder. If you say, I am going to fast, I am not going to eat anything, that's a shvuah. If you say, because the focus is on you, the person, but if you say, the food, all of the food in my house is prohibited unto me for the next 24 hours, then you're not allowed to eat any of the food. So here is the difference, the way you say it. If you say, I'm taking a vow, I am going to fast on this Shabbos, it's worthless. It's not valid. Because I can't take a vow to contradict a vow that I took 3,400 years ago. I was standing right next to you. What vow did I take at Sinai? That I'm going to observe Shabbos properly. And that means I'm going to eat. But if I take a neder, I never was told anything at Sinai about a neder. So I prohibit the food upon me. And therefore, even if it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, I am obligated to fast. Obligated to fast. Shabbos or Yom Tov. If I took a neder. Shahanidarim Chalim al Divrei Mitzvah Kemoshe Biyarnu. Because a neder takes effect even if there is a mitzvah to the contrary, just as I explained it in another section. Says the Rambam, V'chein, Hanoder Shiyatsum Yom Rishon O Yoshlishi Kol Yomav. Somebody took a neder, I'm going to fast every Sunday or every Tuesday. Upaga bo yomzeh, and suddenly this day arrives, v'harehu yom tov o erev yom kippur, hareze chayav latsum. He's obligated to fast. Obligated to fast. When is he obligated to fast? Erev yom kippur, a shal or yom tov. So if he takes a neder, I am going to prohibit all food upon myself every single Tuesday. And now it turns out to be the first day of Pesach, he fasts. Doesn't eat the seder. Doesn't eat. Because he prohibited the matzah upon himself. He prohibited the maror. He said, all of the food of my house shall be prohibited unto me like a korban. That's a neder. However, the Ein Sorech Lomar Rosh Chodesh certainly, says the Rambam, if that Tuesday or Sunday turns out to be Rosh Chodesh, of course he has to fast. However, Poga Bo Chanukah or Purim Yidache Nidro Mipnei Hayamim Ha'elu. If it's Chanukah or Purim, what status does Chanukah and Purim have? Is that a Doraisa Yom Tov or the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan need a little more support. We don't want anybody to trample a rabbinic mitzvah. Because then people will say, yeah, it's not so important. Look at this guy, he's fasting. Can't be such a significant day. Therefore, if the Yom Tov is a din d'rabbanan, then the rabbis say, your neder is worthless. You eat on Chanukah and Purim. But if the day in which Tuesday or Sunday or Thursday comes out, and it happens to be a mitzvah midoraisa to eat on that day, then you have to fast. It's counterintuitive. Yeah. You have to. Yeah. Good. Well, what do I need? Why do I show you this Rambam? Because which category does the Rambam put Erev Yom Kippur? And then it's a doraisa. And therefore the Rambam said, if I took a vow, I am not, all of the food in my house is prohibited every Sunday and for the whole year. Well, this year, Erev Yom Kippur is Sunday. So I'm going to have to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Because it's treated like every other biblical mitzvah that comes on that day. And the only time that I override, don't allow you to fast, is if it's a rabbinic mitzvah, Chanukah and Purim, because Divrei Rabbanan Tzrichim Chizuk, the rabbis' laws and festivals and everything need strengthening, because people tend to treat them, belittle them, and don't treat them seriously. So that's what the Rambam said. Now we come to Linda.
I just say one thing.
Yes?
The fasting for the yard site, are you saying that those people say neder?
Or depends how... It depends. If you can take a neder or a shvua, and on an oral, it's not a problem. But if the yard site of your father comes out, if you said, every Tuesday I'm going to fast, and now the yard site of your grandfather is on a Tuesday... Of course, you can't fast. Then you have to fast. Of course, you fast. Yes.
Shabbos. I fast on my father's yard site.
If it's a Shabbos,
I don't.
You don't.
No.
That's correct. Because unless you took a neder right before Shabbos, all of the food in my house is prohibited. It's not valid. That's correct. You should never fast on a Shabbos if it's your parents' yard site. You should never.
Fast on the yard site.
It's a minhag. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The only thing that's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch is the way the Chassidim observe Yahrzeit. But Alachayim, Ashtekel Ayakichel. The only thing that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch is that it's appropriate to fast. The Rav fasted every single Yahrzeit. What? We do not fast on Rosh Chodesh. We don't fast if the Yahrzeit is on Chanukah, Purim. We don't fast any days when you're not allowed to fast.
That's what people do, like you said. They bring it to like,
or see them. That's called a tikkun. Because they're not upset for their perspective, which believes in the Kabbalistic ideas that the neshama is going up a rung closer to the throne of God. What are you all upset? What are you crying for? That's why they have a l'chaim. Exactly.
But what's the point in the fasting? Is the point of the fasting?
Because it's a day. It's a day of tshuva. Because it's a yes. Of course, it's a day of doing tshuva. My father passed away, and that's a reminder to me that I have to do tshuva. Otherwise, what might happen? I'm going to die as well. It's. What? But sometimes when you die is
you
many times. Sometimes we live out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had allotted us, but that changes. It can go increase and it can decrease depending on our behavior. We believe that.
When someone dies young, like a child, or even
we can't explain that. They did nothing wrong, and we just acknowledge that we don't understand it.
Yeah.
There's nothing more appropriate to say. Don't try to blame the parents. Don't blame that this happened. That just say it's a terrible tragedy. I will ask the Rabbi Nishlam to explain it to me when it's my time to get up there, and I can't explain it to a human being. That's all.
Look,
I can't.
Longevity is being. We know there's.
Of course.
But in the Torah, they actually.
We pray. V'siten lanu chayim aruchim.
Say not having longevity is a punishment. Because the punishment.
Right. Who can't say that?
I won't say that.
You can't, but.
Because I don't.
But Chazal say that.
People who die, I see such tzaddikim who die.
So the Rambam asked your question, and the Rambam said, the way it's your definition of who is a tzaddik and who is a rasha. But God has his little favorites. And he writes. This is Rambam's. He might be wrong. And that one Aveira can outweigh 500 mitzvot. And one mitzvah can outweigh sometimes 500 Aveirot.
Not his favorites. Oh, mitzvah, not people.
No, he's got his favorite mitzvot. And that's. And favorite. And he's got his most despicable. He's got his most despicable Aveirot. So maybe this Al Capone, who was a despicable character, but maybe he did one mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes. What? Yeah, he lived to 103. Yes, to 103. Maybe he did. We don't know. We don't know. Anyhow. What? You are now out of fast. Okay, I would not advise you to fast 2 days in a row.
No, but I usually do half a day.
Okay. There's no mitzvah to eat on Erev Tisha B'Av. There is none. It's just logical that you should not fast 2 days in a row. Now, take a look at page 3, and here is the Kesef Mishnah, who writes quite simply, V'yesh litmoa, I am perplexed, Al Erev Yom HaKippurim. How did the Rambam say that if I create a vow that I will not, all of the food in my house is prohibited on Erev Yom Kippur, what did the Rambam tell you to do? Fast. Why? The Atu Mishum Drasha the Ve'inisem Esnaf Shel Seichem? Is it based on the pasuk that I just told you? Ve'inisim esav shecheichem when besisha lachodesh ba'erev? He asmachta ba'alma. It's only an asmachta. In other words, it's a din derabbanan. There's no mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Midoraisa. It's a din derabbanan. So why did the Rambam lump Erev Yom Kippur with Shabbos and Yom Tov? He should have lumped it with what? Chanukah and Purim. And therefore, if somebody takes a neder to fast every Tuesday, and Erev Yom Kippur is a Tuesday, then we would tell him to eat. Tell him to eat. Because rabbinic enactments need strengthening. So Kesef Mishnah takes a drash in the Gemara and says, just casually, it's an Ashmachta Balma.
It's so casually. I'm saying it's so casually.
Casually. Did he offer any proofs? Why? He just said, I think it's an Ashmachta. Go now to page 4 for a minute. And page 4 is another commentary printed in the Rambam. He's called the Lechem Mishnah. I have it here. Yeah. No. Oh, I forgot to print the Kesef Mishnah. Yeah. All right. Okay. You'll have to trust me. The Lechem Mishnah, right there, right next to the Kesef Mishnah, right under the Kesef Mishnah, he says, what are you talking about? It's an Asmachta. Of course it's a Din D'Oraisa. And he uses the argument that I mentioned to you earlier. If the second drash from this pasuk, the mitzvah of Tosefet Yom HaKippurim, everybody believes is a D'Oraita, how can you say that this drash from the exact same pasuk is only a din d'rabbanan? How does that make any sense? So therefore the Lechem Mishnah disagrees with the Kesef Mishnah and says the Rambam is 100% correct. Both drashot are based on this pasuk, even though the pshat doesn't mean either of them. The drash from these psukim, namely, to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and to extend Yom Kippur into the 9th and a little into the 11th, are dinem d'oraisa. And here is another wonderful illustration about how to interpret a drasha in the Gemara. Kesef Mishnah, the author of Shulchan Aruch Karo, says it's a din d'rabbanan. Another commentary, Lechem Mishnah, says it's a din d'oraisa. And the Rambam seemed to have categorized it as a din d'oraisa. But there are no guidelines to help us understand why it's a d'rabbanan or it's a d'oraisa. No guidelines whatsoever. In fact, I want to tell you that not so flattering remark that Tosfot makes. Tosfot Masechet Beitzah says in his community, women, he mentions women, ate on Erev Yom Kippur until sundown exactly. Till sundown exactly. So what did they not fulfill? No, they lit candles, right. They ate until sundown. Right by then, they lit candles and that was it. They did not add on a tenth of a second. So now Tosfot asked himself, next Shabbos, or the Shabbos next year, Shabbos Shuvah, before Yom Kippur, should I get up and share with my women in the shul, ladies, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Please stop eating a couple of minutes before sundown. Or, says Tosfos, hold on a second. Whether it's a d'oraisa or a d'rabbanan, you got to do it.
No, because they're saying if they think it's a d'oraisa that they have to eat, they want to eat up until the very last second and get all that.
But there's a mitzvah of Tosefes.
Okay,
that's also a d'oraisa.
Okay,
so you should. The tits of Tosefes tells you that the mitzvah to eat stops 2 minutes before.
If you want to extra market on that part.
Hold on a second. So Tosfos, that's what the sugya is talking about. There are times when if you see somebody doing something wrong, What is our halachic responsibility? Hocheach tochiach. To tell them. Not scream at them and bash them over. To educate them. However, sometimes the Gemara says what Nechama just said. It's better not to tell them, because they will violate it then b'shogeg, rather than do it deliberately b'mezid. Mutav shiyu shogein v'al mezid. So Tosva says...
Yeah, why do you think they won't change if you tell them a lot?
I said that right away. So here is the halach. If it's an absolute din d'oraita, you have to... Hochiach tochiach. If it's a din d'oraita, don't let anybody transgress a din d'oraita. You have to respectfully... carefully tell them what you're doing is wrong, and so on and so forth. If it's a din derabbanan, then if you don't think that they're going to want to change, just let them violate b'shogeg rather than mezid.
I can't say this to the oldest man for sure. Don't tell Ima that she's not
going to
do it.
Okay. But that's only if it's a derabbanan. If it's a doraita, they shouldn't do that.
It happens the whole time that my kids are growing up.
If it's a doraita, they shouldn't do that. They have to tell you, respectfully. So, Tosfos asks about this practice. So now, Tosfos says, I spoke to lots of women, and they said, Mr. Tosfos, we couldn't care less what you're going to say. We are eating until the last second. So what dilemma was Rabbi Tosfos faced with? What dilemma was he faced with? Should he get up in shul and publicize, ladies and ladies, you are not allowed to eat until sundown. You have to stop 2 minutes, at least 2 minutes before. A minute before. And fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefta. Says Tosfos, I believe this is a mitzvah midoraisa, just like the Rambam. And so I should be telling them. Said Tosfos, yes, it's a doraita, but it doesn't say black on white in the text.
Oh, wait a second.
It doesn't say black on white in the text. When must you say something where the Torah says black on blue? Bo'erev tochlu matzah. So if some woman says, matzah gives me indigestion, I'm not eating this, or a man, you tell him, you got to eat matzah. If you see somebody about to violate a biblical statute that says black on white in the text, you have to tell him. But if it's a drash, even though we treat that drash d'oraita, if it doesn't say it black on white, then, says Tosfos, let them go ahead, and he decided not to say it in shul, even though he believes it's a din d'oraita. Because it's not a mitzvah hamifureshet bikra. It's not a mitzvah that is stated in the text. Yes.
Now, this differentiation that he's making for this little minor, I would say, thing, he's creating a whole other category of mitzvot that are written specifically.
Yes, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
Distinctions that we do that for, other in relation to anything else. Do we say, okay, this mitzvah?
He will say, yes, he will apply this rule to every one of those. To every other mitzvah, if he sees people who are doing it and they're not willing to change, he will keep his mouth shut.
No, I don't just mean that. Is that whole
are there other? Yes, there is a whole category, and I'll show you where that category is applied. Is this one of the 613 mitzvot on earth?
Oh, is this one of the 613?
Yeah. Many say
probably
it's not. Because in order to be one of the 613, you can't use a Gemara like this, it should have said this. It's got
to
say it black on white in the text. But it can be a din d'oraita. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have told Mo, when he came down, Moshele, tell all of the fanatics downstairs, when you come down from Sinai, there's a mitzvah of Tosefet Yom Kippur. I'm telling you it's a din d'oraita, but it's not in the text. There are many such mitzvot which are treated as a d'oraita, but or every halacha that's halacha l'moshe misina. There's a category. Halacha means Moshe came down and said, God told me. The fact that we take Hoshanas in the Mikdash, we do it only Hoshanah Rabbah. In the Beit HaMikdash, you take an additional set of Aravot every day in the Mikdash and you walk around the Mizbeach. Every single day of Sukkot. It's a halacha l'moshe misina. The fact that you pour water on the Mizbeach, not just wine, every day of Sukkot. Doesn't say that in the Torah. That's a halacha l'moshe misina. It's a din d'oraita that's not part of the 613. So that's another difference.
My question is there in general a category of where we're more lenient for in other areas, not just in this Tosefta,
yes.
In other areas because it's not sacred?
Yes. I can't think of offhand right now, but there are. Okay. There are. It's a subcategory and not complete. It's a d'oraita. Nish completely like a d'oraisa. Yes. Yes. So here there is a perfect example. So what we've seen is the difficulty of how to make that determination. In this example which we had tonight, there is a debate between Kesef Mishnah and Lecha Mishnah. Lecha Mishnah says it's a din d'oraita, end of discussion. Kesef Mishnah says it's a din d'rabbanan. And therefore, Rambam should have put it on the other edge, other ledge. He should have said that if you make a fast, I fast every Sunday, and your Erev Yom Kippur comes, what do? You eat. You don't fast. Just like Hanukkah and Purim. Just like Hanukkah and Purim. And not put it together with Shabbos and Yom Tov, which are the Oraita. That's the Kesef Mishnah's claim that the Rambam made a mistake. And that's why he wrote, to me, Ali, I am puzzled and perplexed where the Rambam classified this, because he made a mistake. He made a mistake. And of course he didn't. But but that's neither here nor there. You know, that's their entitled to say it. Okay. Let's continue. Yeah. Now let's go to page 4. I'm just going to at least get into the sugya a little. Not going to get much into it, but I'll lay the groundwork. Is there a possibility for everybody to come next Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night?
No.
Anybody can definitely not come on a Tuesday night. The date is the 11th instead of the 12th. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, so Linda, you know what to do. YUTorah.org, look for my picture, listen to the share.
Report.
What?
Report back.
And report back, yes. Yeah. Good. Amar Rav Huna, so next week the share is Tuesday night. Amar Rav Huna. Hanichna, oh, do you have it there? What you're looking at here is the riff. The Riff, the candy man from Fez. Told you that already. Yitzchak, the candy man. And he is quoting a Gemara, and he quotes it because he wants to paskin the halacha. Amar Rav Huna, Hanichnas lebeit hakneset, umatza tzibur shemitpalalin. You walk into shul, and the shul's davening Shmon Esrei for Shacharis. Now, what dilemma are you having? Should I start Shmon Esrei and then get stuck and not be able to what? Say Kedusha or answer Modim? And therefore I should wait until they're finished. Then I can answer. Or can I say, you know what? I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm going to start davening wherever I am. I am. If I'm in a place where I can't answer, and in most places in Shmon Esrei you can't, so you'll miss it. You'll stop davening, and you'll listen. You'll stop davening, and you'll listen. And how will you be Yotzei the Kedusha? Through what principle? Shomea Ka'oneh. That is correct. There's a machloikus between Rashi and Tosfos, whether that option is available or not. Rashi says, you should not stop at all. Keep davening. Because if you stop and listen, it's going to be as if you said it. Listen to the words. Shomea ke'oneh. Then you're interrupting Shimon Esrei. Tosfos says, no. Shomer Ka'oneh is like Mr. Rogers. It's Ka'oneh. It's the world of make-believe. As if you said the Kedusha, but it's not really that you said it. So therefore you can stop and listen. So that's the dilemma which Rav Huna raised the question. And he says, now, he starts with the issue, not about Kedusha, but to answer Modin. Modin. What?
Why?
Because Modin is going to be even more serious than Kedusha, according to Rav Huna. Why? Because you demonstrably demonstrate, I am not joining the Kehillah. What is the Kehillah going to do before they start saying Modim? They're going to bow down. You can't bow down when you're up to Yismach Moshe b'matnas chalko. Because you're not allowed to bow down in any part of the Shmona Esrei except for the beginning of the bracha, Magen Avraham, Modim, and Hatov Shimcha al-Chana al-Odot. So now, I don't want to get caught when I am up to Kadshenu b'mitzvotecha, when I daven Shmos, Kadshenu b'mitzvotecha. Is that the way you daven? Sing it to yourself? Sing it to yourself? So that's his question. And he writes, Im yochol lehatchil v'ligmor ad shelo yagia shliach tzibur l'modim. If he can begin his Shmon Esrei and finish in time before the Shliach Tzibur gets to what? Modim. Then Hitpalel. Then let him start Shmon Esrei.
And finish.
Start and finish. The Imlav, if your judgment is that if I start Shmona Esrei, I will not be able to complete my Shmona Esrei by the time the Shliach Tzibur gets to Modim, lo, al yitpalel, don't daven Shmona Esrei. So what do? You stand there by Micha Mocho or by Tzuyi, so you stand there, wait, and then you'll do something, you'll be able to, what you're going to respond to, how much you're going to, is not our discussion tonight. That's your type of concern. What's the bottom line, halacha? What can I say? That's not my issue tonight at all. You'll say something, but I'll tell you not tonight.
Definitely somebody says you're not supposed to do that. I don't know who, because then when you say your Shmona Esrei, you have like a time bracket. You're going to be rushing your Shmona Esrei in order to make sure you're done by Modim. And that's a terrible kavana.
I would agree with you.
Someone wants somebody.
I would agree with you, but I'm just explaining the Gemara. He means to daven with kavana and still be able to complete your Shmona Esrei by the time you get to Modim. So Rav Huna's concern was Modim. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, in the third line, says, how about Kedusha? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Amar, im yochol lahaskel ligmor ad shiyagia shliach tzibur l'kedusha, yitpaleo. Ve'im lav, al yitpaleo. If you can start Shmon Esrei and finish it before the shliach gets up to Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayei Amesim, then daven. But if you can't reach the completion of your Shmon Esrei, and the Chazan is going to be up to Mechaye Mason, so what are you going to have to do? You're not going to be able to answer Kedusha. Therefore, I, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, says, don't daven yet. Wait until they get up to Kedusha. You'll answer Kedusha. How much Kedusha is not for tonight. And then, after you say Kedusha, what will you do? Then you'll daven Shmon Esrei. Yes.
So, Dean,
just one second.
If you have somebody who davens slow, and you know by your own history that even if you're in shul on time and you start with the tzibur, you start Shmon Esrei, there's no way you're finishing before you get to Kedusha.
That is not a problem. Because the definition of tefillah b'tzibur is to start Shmona Esrei with the minyan. Whether you finish or not, an answer could do, that's no one's concern. We'll talk about that's a practice. But here the problem is you came late and you don't have tefillah b'tzibur. Why don't you have tefillah b'tzibur? Because they started already and you weren't even there yet. So that's not my concern. Okay. If you are up to Shmona Esrei and that's the goal of coming to shul, therefore you're allowed to skip lots of Psukei Dezimra. You can skip all of Psukei Dezimra and just start with Yotzer Oruv Arechoshech. According to some, we learned this in the previous topic about Smichas Gula L'Tfila. I told you that some believe there is no Smichas Gula L'Tfila on Shabbos. Therefore, what can you do if you walk in there up to Shmona Esrei? Start Shmona Esrei right there and then. That's it. But that's not what happened. You came in too late for that. So Rav Huna is only concerned about Modim, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is only concerned about Kedusha. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the Machloket? Bamai Kemiflagin, it's going to shock you. But I'm just introducing the Gemara. And there's a long Rabbeinu Yoyne that we have to do next week. But my Kamiflagi, what is the kernel of the debate? Answers the Gemara. Rav Huna Savar Hayachid Omer Kadosh. Hayachid Omer Kadosh. What is it? What do you think that means? Hayachid Omer Kadosh. You don't need a minion to say Kedusha. That's what Rav says. You don't need a minion to say Kedusha. Hayachid Omer Kadosh. So, I don't care if what. If you're going to start your Shmon Esrei, you're not going to be able to finish it, and you're not going to be able to join the Tzibur for Kedusha. I couldn't care less. Because when you finish Shmon Esrei, what will you do? You'll say, Kadosh, Kadosh, yourself, myself. So therefore, what is the only thing that I am concerned with? Modim. And that's a public separation from the Tzibur. So therefore, I have to make sure that you can finish the Shmona Esrei by the time the Chazan reaches Modim. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Savar Ein Hayachid Omer Kadosh. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, what are you talking about? Kedusha is one of the things we saw last week in the Mishnah and Megillah, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, that you need a minyan for. How can you say that a Yachid says Kedusha? Hence, when do I, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, say you can start your Shmon Esrei? If you can finish it in order to what? To answer Kedusha. V'chein Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Ein Hayachid Omer Kadosh. And therefore the Rif quotes it and he paskins, like almost everybody else, that an individual does not say Kedusha. An individual does not say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So I'm just going to ask you to identify the question which we'll focus on next week. How many times do we say the words Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh during davening?
Three
times.
It's in Shachris.
Right? Shachris. In the Uvalet Zion. During the week,
yeah.
It's three times. Are you allowed to say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh after Onim V'Omrim B'Yira? Can you say that without a minion?
Yeah.
Did you daven today?
Yeah.
Of course you did. Did you say Kadosh, Kadosh?
I always skip that part because it says it in black bold.
You skipped the Why?
Because
if it's in bold, it means it's supposed to be there,
no,
said even more.
It says beforehand that if you're not in a minyan, then you should not say that part of Uvalet Zion.
It's wrong. What about by Kriya Shema? What about by Berachos Kriya Shema? Onim ve'omrim biyira. That you said. Okay. So the question which we're going to focus on is, if you don't say Kadosh, 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 unless there's a minyan, how do we say by Berachos Shema the first time, and then by Uvalet Zion, and on Shabbos we don't say Uvalet Zion, we say it to Mincha, Ashrei Uvalet Zion. How do we say Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kvod Hashem Bimkol Mo without a minion?
Because it's not just the words Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. It's the words being part of Kedusha. It's Kaddish, and I would say it's part
excellent. Good, you're not here, but that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is going to talk about that next week. The Rambam changed his mind. I'm going to show you that. When he was a younger kid, he wrote and said that unless there is a minion for Kadosh Kadosh by Baruch Shema, skip those words. Skip it. Then he changed his mind. Later on, Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam said, Pop changed his mind. We'll see why he changed his mind. What? We'll continue next. Devach. Emir Tzah Hashem, Tuesday night.